Hi, bad scientists. Someone suggested I call you that in an email. One of our scientist fans, actually. And so I've just begun trying that out. Anyways, today we're talking about Jurassic World, and there's so many issues that Jurassic World brings up about society and about morality. And the one that I want to focus on, and I mentioned this on the pod briefly, is Jurassic Tennis. Now, there's a banner in the background of the original film, Jurassic Park, for Jurassic Tennis, and there's some sort of digital representation of it in this new film. The bottom line here is that I need Jurassic Tennis, okay? Somebody needs to make a film about Jurassic Tennis, or a video game called Jurassic Tennis, where dinosaurs play tennis, or they're the refs. I don't know how it'll work, and I don't care. I need Jurassic Tennis. Somebody needs to make it happen, and send me an email with a link for that trailer right now. And until then, I have no choice but to go on a tennis strike. I'm not going to watch tennis, I'm not going to play tennis until I get Jurassic Tennis. So I want you to join the fight at fastingforjurassictennis.org. So go to that right now, /Ethan Hosts Bad Science Podcast Digital Analog, and fill out your name, date of request, and let's all join together and make this happen. Okay, enjoy the episode, and thank you for listening. Bad science. Did the movie get it right? Bad science. Or will we have to fight? Bad science. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bad Science. I'm Ethan Edinburgh, and today we're talking about 2015's Jurassic World, one of the sixth best-selling movies?
Sixth highest-grossing film of all time.
Highest-grossing film of all time. See, I get guests that already come in with knowledge. It's unbelievable. And I'll explain my guess, of course. That voice you're hearing is a good friend of mine, an improviser, comedian, and storyteller, Sophia Hosini.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to see you, Sophia. Usually we just see each other on Sundays, mm-hmm. and we joke around. We do a bunch of goofballs.
Yep.
But today we're talking serious science.
Very serious stuff, yeah.
Educational purposes only.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, good. So I don't want to hear any laughter or jokes puns.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, God, I would never do a pun.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Good. Also, we have our old friend from the Jurassic Park episode, which we did with Scott Rogowski. It is the paleontologist at the Natural History Museum of L.A., Dr. Alyssa Bell.
Hi, happy to be back.
Happy to see you again, Alyssa. It's been like a year or so.
Yeah, about that.
A lot has changed.
Well, they're still dead, so we've still got that going on.
Dinosaurs, still deceased.
Haven't changed much.
Okay, that's a shame. So you said you just got back from Utah. You were doing a dig?
Is that
the cool term, slang term?
Yeah, that's what we call it. Yeah, so I was out for 5 weeks digging up primarily sauropod dinosaurs, or the big long-necked ones, in southeastern Utah.
Okay, sauropod?
Sauropod.
Sauropod, okay. Like the one that we saw in this film where they were like getting killed.
The apatosauruses that are dead all over the ground.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
It's pretty sad. It's that a tragic
was sad.
Moment.
Yeah, apatosaur. I thought they were a brontosaur, or is that a similar?
A similar, very similar dinosaur. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very similar dinosaur.
Yeah, that's the only one I know that has a long neck is the brontosaurus.
The brontosaur.
Yeah, same. Brontosaur, yeah.
But now we know that they're also apatosaur and that they're sauropods.
They're all types of sauropods, yeah.
Wow. Already
blowing my mind.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the movie first before we get into the ridiculous dinosaur questions that I have based on this film. I had never seen this movie before. I think, Sophia, you said the same, right?
Right, this is my first time.
Okay, so what do you think about Jurassic World?
Well, as far as like it just being entertaining, I thought it was entertaining. Like, I'll give it that. You know, like summer flick, you know, lots of dinosaurs. The velociraptors were cute. I liked them. You know, like that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just going through the film, like there are so many like cliches and just tropes and... Even, I mean, I don't know anything about dinosaurs, and I just was like, is that right? You know? And like we talked earlier, I thought the Indominus Rex looked basically just like a T-Rex with like some spikes on its head.
Right, yeah.
So, I don't know. I was like, what's the difference? But yeah, so overall, I would see it again. Like, I thought it was like a decent film, but definitely some issues with
it. Okay. Alyssa, was this your first time seeing it?
No, I saw it when it came out once, but it'd been since 2015, so rewatch was an interesting experience.
What'd you think about it when it came out? And did you see it in the full, IMAX experience? Because I think that was like a big deal when this came out.
Yeah, I just saw a regular movie theater.
Right.
Didn't really seem worthy of an IMAX experience.
Sure.
It's a fun monster movie.
Yeah.
It's not really... It's no Jurassic Park, for sure.
Yeah.
But it is a fun movie to watch.
Yes, absolutely. I like that you called it a monster movie, because that's actually a quote that I have here in part of my research. It said that Jurassic World was criticized for purposefully ignoring new discoveries and knowledge about dinosaurs, and that several dinosaur researchers called the film a, quote, dumb monster movie for failing to include new discoveries about the creatures, like all of the feather stuff. Like, that's kind of the main complaint, right? It's like, velociraptors have feathers, some
sort
of feathers.
That was one of the big complaints among paleontologists, is that they didn't update the dinosaurs to reflect sort of updated understanding of what some of them would have looked like.
Okay. It doesn't get to you, or does it get to you?
I felt like the movie actually answered that one for themselves at one point. Wu says something about, no, they're not dinosaurs. We made you a bunch of monsters. Have fun with that.
Oh, right. Yeah, because they're like hybrid. They're like, yeah making.
You know, and so he pointed out the fact that, no, these are not real dinosaurs. These are genetically engineered monsters. And so I felt that that wrapped it up really nicely, is, no, they're not going to look like real dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Some people felt like that was still not enough.
When did the feathers discovery happen? How long ago was that, that these dinosaurs may have had feathers?
So that's been a long sort of building process of, like, we find more dinosaurs going further back the evolutionary tree that do have feathers.
Gotcha.
And I don't remember exact years that different species were found with feathers or whatnot, but it's been a while now.
Okay, gotcha.
And so, go.
Oh, I was just going to ask if that Mosasaurus, is that real? Is that something that may have been a dinosaur?
Mosasaurus were real. Marine reptiles. They're not dinosaurs.
Okay.
But they weren't that. We don't have any record of them getting that large.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
That one was excessively terrifying. Big.
Yeah. I don't know if I have the amount, but I did read that they were like way smaller.
They were. Yeah. They weren't that big.
It was. Gargantuanly large.
Yeah, it was ridiculously
that
large.
Woman, yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't explain it away at all. Like, at least with the Indominus or Indominus, I don't know the right way to say it. But at least with that one, they were like, oh, we've mutated this. We've combined it with a bunch of animals. There's a reason it's freakishly large. Although, again, it does seem to be pretty much the same as the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. Does it seem much bigger?
It was different in some ways that were interesting. The arms were, it had more regular sort of proportioned arms. It didn't have the teeny tiny T-Rex arms.
Okay.
And so in that way, it would actually, in my opinion, be scarier because now it's got arms it can actually do things with, as well as teeth and feet.
Less accurate though? Like, did the T-Rex have those little teeny tiny?
T-Rex had very reduced arms with just two fingers. So the T-Rex that you see like stereotypically in cartoons with like the little arms that can't do anything, that's reasonable.
Wow. Such a weird.
Yeah. weird creatures.
Weird creature. Okay. So this was,
So Indominus had some, they mishmashed a bunch of different theropod dinosaurs.
Okay, cool. And it can do a bunch of crazy cool shit. It can camouflage and it can, an eye roll from Elizabeth.
There's no reason to think that they could have. I mean, realistically, dinosaurs probably didn't do that.
Right.
But if you're going to create a monster in a lab, why not let it do that? That's a cool
trick.
They
said they spliced it with a cuttlefish, and that's why it was camouflage, which I thought was so funny.
Frog, I think.
Yeah,
too, right?
A tree frog. Okay, so because it can hide from thermal detection.
Yeah, it can modulate.
Yeah, it can turn off its thermal.
Yeah,
it can turn off its body heat. That's a great trick.
Incredible.
So funny. Such an unnecessary thing for them to put in this dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only way we have of tracking it. Let's let it be hide from that.
That's nuts.
And I also just, as far as camouflaging go, like, a chameleon is very well known to camouflage, right? Like, a cuttlefish, I had no idea could even do that. I mean, I guess it's cool from like an educational point of view, but if you're going to splice anything, I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts here. But I also loved, I will say, in that moment where he realizes that it can camouflage. Do you know what I'm talking about? He's like getting attacked. And in that moment of sheer panic where anyone with a normal brain would just be yelling, you know, incomprehensible syllables or just like run maybe would come to mind.
Right.
He yells, it can camouflage. I thought it was so
a
funny.
A full sentence.
Yeah.
Grammatically correct. Everything. Yeah.
The animal has been hybrid mutated to camouflage.
Yeah. Very accurate.
Yeah. I thought that was really good. I also wanted to mention how I didn't realize this, but I love the movie Deep Blue Sea. You guys seen Deep Blue Blue Sea?
I haven't, no.
Oh.
Is that the shark one with Samuel L. Jackson?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah.
You got to watch this, Sophia.
It's a good movie. Yeah.
It's a hilarious movie.
Really fun. It's in that same like Anaconda time period.
Oh, I love Anaconda.
If you like Anaconda.
Oh, you'll like it. Yeah.
Great.
So a lot of journalists apparently noted a bunch of similarities between Jurassic World and Deep Blue Sea.
Oh.
They like for the plot and character similarities. And so I didn't really get that from the movie. But anyways, I wanted to throw it out there to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen Deep Blue Sea too, but I don't remember thinking that when I saw it, but I must have missed it.
I don't know.
Sounds like one's sharks and one's dinosaurs, so I think that's a huge difference.
Difference
already.
Enough, yeah. Good call.
I'll tell you that.
That's damn right. You guys want to guess, do you know how much the movie made? I can tell you the budget was $150 million. What was the box office number? We don't get into this, but I thought this was interesting.
It was a lot.
I think I saw it somewhere.
It was in the billions.
Yeah, I thought it was 1.6.
Yes, that's correct. 1.672 billion.
It's a lot.
Very well done, Sophia.
Thanks.
You
Wikipedia
win.
Is wonderful. So helpful.
It really is. I like how they tell you that, like
oh,
right up front.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then I just wanted to mention the director, Colin Trevorrow, who I was like, who's this guy? What's he even? And now, since then, he's been doing a bunch of stuff. He did the other Jurassic World and like I think some Star Wars movie, but before this, he had just done a movie called Safety Not Guaranteed in 2012. Do you know about this movie?
Isn't that like an indie film?
Yeah, it was an indie film that was made for like less than $1 million, and it has like Aubrey Plaza and I think one of the Duplass brothers, and it looks really good. And from what I've heard, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just shocked because this is like the second or third time that we've been talking about one of these just huge blockbuster monster movies. It's made for $150 million and they entrusted it to a dude who his last movie was like this little indie movie, which don't get me wrong, did really well. But I was like, wow, that's a lot of trust.
Yeah.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Good for him. Yeah, he lucked out.
Yeah. Great for him.
That's nice.
That dude rules.
Yeah.
Okay, so starting from the beginning here, in the first scene of the movie, there usually with the Jurassic Park movies, there's a dinosaur attack that starts out the film. But in this movie, there's like little baby dinosaurs hatching out of eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to know like if that's how we know that it worked, that they do come from eggs like birds. And secondly, if they look like that, because the claw that came out seemed like fully formed to me. It seemed
right.
like, you know, like a legit claw that was already out of the egg.
Well, if you think about crocodiles, right, when they're born as babies, when they hatch out the eggs, they have all their claws and teeth and all that.
Oh,
so that's totally reasonable that the baby would have looked like that. And in terms of the egg, yeah, we do have a pretty good record of eggs from lots of different types of dinosaurs, including theropod dinosaurs, so the big meat-eating ones.
Wow.
So we have lots of that elongate kind of ovaly shape, like that's exactly how they were shaped. So that was, I mean, there's no reason to think that that wouldn't have been an accurate depiction.
Okay, cool. And so crocodiles just look like little crocodiles, just tiny micro versions of the real thing.
Baby crocodiles, yep.
Wow, that's kind of adorable.
They're kind of cute when they're that little, yeah.
Yeah. Very quickly, it doesn't become the case.
Yeah, not cute for long.
Okay, so I'll say one more like very stupid thing, and then I want to know about your recent dig adventures in Utah. But when, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but when they're first getting to the park, Isla Nublar, I believe it's called, which just sounds like someone falling and coming up with something.
Oh, yeah.
I want a new blar. I don't know. So there's like a screen of like different activities that you can do at the park. And one of them says Jurassic tennis.
No way.
I didn't know.
Did you see this?
Oh, that's amazing.
I had to go back because I was like, no way that's what I saw. And that's absolutely what I saw. It says Jurassic tennis. It's like, if you're going to this park to see dinosaurs, why would you take a break and play tennis? And also, are there dinosaurs on the court or dinosaur ball boys?
Yeah,
why is it Jurassic? I had so many questions about Jurassic tennis, none of them answered.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe that's that next movie, though, 2021.
Yeah, Fallen Kingdom.
The focus will be Jurassic tennis, yeah. Just be like Serena going against like a dinosaur.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Well,
Jurassic World Tennis Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's solved.
Okay, well, I'm glad that we got the conclusion to that. Yeah. I'm glad I know about it. Okay, so yeah, you were in Utah. You were digging up. You said you found some stuff.
Yeah, we had a great season this year. So we've been working in this quarry for, this was our 11th season, excavating there. And so far we've collected hundreds of bones of different dinosaurs.
Wow.
Exciting for this season is we finished collecting the two most complete individuals that we have in the quarry. So most of the quarry is just like a mishmash, like a jumble of different bones. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to tell what goes with what and things like that.
Yeah.
But there are two individuals that are preserved sections of their torso and neck for one individual and the neck of the other individual. And so we're hoping we're going to be building a new exhibit / welcome center at the museum. And fingers crossed, we will be mounting these as a single individual. So we'll have a new dinosaur, hopefully in a few years, to come see. So we're really excited about finishing the field work for that project. So it was a big milestone this year to get that out of there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks. Big time.
Wow.
So what's like the most exciting part for you? Is it like finding of torso bone, or is it like, oh, this piece will allow us to now build it at the museum, or is it actually building it at the museum? You know, when do you get psyched up?
For me, it's when it actually comes out of the ground. So there's this moment where you've spent, in some cases for one of the individuals we collected this year, we've known it's there for 4 or 5 years now. It's taken us this long to actually get it to where we could remove it. Wow. And so to spend so long getting something to that pivotal moment, and then these are really big dinosaurs. So we're working with, like, we have a backhoe come in to help us, you know, lift the stuff out, because the jackets weigh, you know, in excess of 1,000 pounds. And so to watch it, like, actually, like, lift it out of the ground, like, that's...
Do you play the Jurassic Park theme music when it rises up?
I'm not going to say that's never happened.
Yeah. I hope you do that.
That's happened before.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Wow. That's great.
But yeah, so that's a really pivotal moment where you can just put your finger on that instant of time and go, like, it's ours now.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's awesome.
Captured the bone.
Yes.
Damn.
Wow.
Sophia, you ever dig up a bone or... No.
Great question, Ethan.
Thank you.
I feel like maybe I found, like, bones from a steak I ate on the floor, like when I had a messy meal, but that's maybe...
A messy meal? How are you eating?
Oh, I don't know. You know, when you just get some ribs going in the summertime.
Oh,
I
sure.
Don't know.
Well, yeah, if it's summer, then throw the bones
in the grass
on the floor.
And you're like, oh my God, you know, a discovery. And they're like, oh no, that's from...
No,
my
you just ate
steak.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Discovery.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Extent for me.
Great. So very quickly the plot of this movie develops where they're telling us why they've created these bigger dinosaurs, and the reasoning is people are bored of regular dinosaurs. They don't care anymore about coming to see them. they compare it to a zoo. They're like, you know, it's just become like a regular zoo where people are, you know, they don't really care anymore. And so I was thinking, like, okay, so if we want people to care more about animals and zoos, do you think we should just make them bigger? Are there attempts at doing that? Is that accurate?
I don't know much about zoos. I've never actually worked at a zoo, but I'm pretty sure they're not doing that at zoos.
Yeah.
Pretty sure people still go to zoos and people still like going to zoos.
Right.
I love going to the zoo.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
I don't really need to see a bigger elephant.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool just the way they are.
I mean, I guess I appreciated the, like, consumerism, you know, high demand, like, mm-hmm. let's look at ourselves and stop asking for more powerful, bigger, faster things and be satisfied with what we have. Like, I get that part of it, but I did think it was really funny how it's like dinosaurs are super cool. And we all know that. And I don't know if it would just take 20 years for the whole world to be like, oh, I don't really care.
Sure.
I'll only care if the T-Rex has bigger arms, you know?
Yeah. I just had so many questions in the first place. Like, one, this is supposed to be 22 years after Jurassic Park, mm-hmm. after, like, a lot of things happened. And then now it's okay to open another one that's called Jurassic World.
Yeah, which have clearly taken years to set up.
It's the same island.
Yeah.
Because they run into the first one.
Right.
They find, like, the ruins or whatever. So
they
just,
like
move next door.
Right. They weren't like, oh, that went really bad. We should never do this again.
Yep.
They were like, let's make a bigger one with, like, genetic hybrid dinosaurs and see what happens.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who's the governing body on this, like, for...
I don't think there is one.
I'm like, is there not some, like, governing entity that's like, no, you can't do this for, like, I don't know, ethical, moral,
right.
like, all these different
kinds
of reasons.
The UN would step in,
right.
or something. something.
Like, maybe don't do that.
Right.
And then throughout the movie, there are multiple people who are like, oh, when will they learn? You know, like, they say many times.
And they're right.
I'm like, okay, I guess nobody's learning. They're just, it's one of those like, oh, darn, not again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the break that they took after Jurassic Park, the disaster of Jurassic Park in this world of 1993, mm-hmm. must have been like 2 years, maybe. Because this thing took a long time to create or update or whatever you want to say, right? They got these trams and these holograms.
Yeah. Like, also the gyrosphere.
Gyrospheres.
I was like, why is nobody under control of that? These boys can just keep going. They were like, you know what? Let's just go a little further.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that can like cause it to go back.
Right.
Like, do people stay out there for like weeks in a gyrosphere if they feel like it?
And no one knows about
right.
it somehow. They can't track them
or
some shit.
I felt like there were some issues just with the park setup.
Yeah. They tried to write it off as like, we're VIPs.
Right.
Right. Because they have like VIP access. So it's like, oh, we can just take this anywhere we want.
Yes.
It's like, why would that exist?
Right.
Why
They're like, oh, we're VIPs. So there's no safety measures in place. Let's do this thing. Yeah. I don't know.
Very strange. The kid, I can't remember their name, so forgive
Zach
me
and
for
Gray.
That. Oh, thank you so much, Sophia.
No problem.
I need you here every episode.
Anytime.
I do limited research, guys. Get over it. Okay, so which one's the smaller one, Zach?
Gray.
That's what I meant.
Totally, yeah. I mean, maybe not smaller in size. Yeah, just not smaller at all.
He's definitely smaller in size.
Yeah, well, Gray is. Yeah, Gray. I mean, I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm just burying myself.
Sure.
Much like a dinosaur. Anyways, so Gray, he at one point is touching this screen and he says, blank, 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 blank. These are the four things that are in every living thing. Mm-hmm. Do you guys know what those are?
A, T, G, and C.
That's correct. Oh, do you even know the names by any chance?
Adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine.
Yes, absolutely. Wow, fantastic job.
We worked together.
Great.
Yeah.
We planned this.
I just wanted to do like a mini pop quiz, but you guys are really on top of it. Very impressive. Okay, so it says about the dinosaurs, I wrote down a quote, that it can sense thermal radiation like snakes, they said in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so do snakes do that? Is that,
yeah,
that makes sense?
Some snakes can do that. They have a special sensory gland on their heads that they can
sense on their heads? And they can
like
just...
pit vipers can do it, yeah.
Whoa.
Okay, but one of my biggest questions about this movie has to do with this.
Please.
Because there is that moment where the Indominus Rex is coming after Chris Pratt at the beginning when it first gets out, and he's under the car, and
gasoline.
He's like, let me douse myself in gasoline.
Yes. Yeah.
And somehow that makes the like Indominus Rex stupid and it can't find it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get how that works. And I did so many Google searches on this.
Okay.
Because I was like, I want to make sure this is not accurate if I'm going to talk about it. But apparently it seems like gasoline can lower your body temperature a little bit. But
whoa.
I can't imagine it would lower it so significantly within 2 seconds that dinosaur would not find him.
Right.
I don't know.
Why would it lower your temperature?
So as it evaporates, it's just like sweat, only you're sweating out something that evaporates way faster than water.
Oh.
So it'd be like dousing yourself with acetone. It would have the same effect. Or alcohol, for that matter.
Well, I've done that.
You see, there you go. You get really cold afterwards because it evaporates so quickly. And as it does that, it lowers your body temperature a little bit.
But even in the moments before he did that, like, why didn't it just find him immediately?
Didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
No.
And
yeah.
then I'm like, if that works, why didn't every single person in the movie douse themselves in gasoline? I'm like, those military dudes who went
so
out there
funny.
Should have just like pour gasoline all over themselves before they go after those dinosaurs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And I also gotta say, and this bothers me about a lot of these movies, but I get why it's like they got to do it because it's more action packed.
Mm-hmm.
But they always seem unequipped to take down the dinosaurs. Like, they don't know how to manage the dinosaurs. They've had them in cages now for years.
Right.
And yet it's like, oh, one's loose. I don't know. Let's try the shocking things. Never works.
Yeah.
Let's try assault rifles. Let's just shoot it a bunch.
Yeah.
They don't care, you know? And that's all that they use. Like, at one point, I wrote down, like, grenades? Where's hand grenades? Use grenades.
Right.
That would appear to work. So at one point, one guy has a rocket launcher and he fires a rocket near the Indominus Rex, and he seems pretty pissed off by it, but he misses him, obviously.
Sure. Well, of course, why would you hit it directly? Yeah, that would be silly.
Oh, yeah. Why would
the movie
would
be over.
Why would they have thermal detecting missiles or something? Well, that would be crazy.
Why would they have technology that would have worked in that cage to be able to notice when it
when it's there or not?
Yeah, it's thermal sensing. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really funny to me. And also just that they've, if they're making these dinosaurs and they have like tracking beacons, like because he has this weird tracking tube in him and he claws it out because he like, so according to Chris Pratt, remembers when it was implanted and can claw it out.
The memories.
I don't know. Wouldn't they have a way of like self-destruct mode basically or like put it into a coma or some, I don't know. I just feel like if you know that you are making deadly animals, huge killing machines, there'd be some sort of fail-safe. Like,
well, it's funny. So this was in the first movie. They actually did have that in the plot.
Okay,
So they and this was in the book too. So they made the dinosaurs deficient. They couldn't produce a specific amino acid, lysine. So that if they didn't feed them lysine on a regular basis, then they'd die.
Okay,
so within
that sounds
a couple
smart.
Of days, they'd be dead.
Yes.
So it wouldn't kill them immediately, but you know, if they got out on the mainland,
right, they'd just they'd die.
Then we saw one in a movie like crashing through San Diego, and it didn't have a problem. So I think they forgot about that. Plot
great
device at some point in time.
Okay, very interesting.
Because
that seems like
one.
A really good
that's a good
plot
idea,
point.
Right? Pretty reasonable.
So they designed them worse this time. Okay, great. They had the chance to personally design them. Yeah. And they made them worse. Great.
Oh, okay, wonderful. Cool. You got more? It seems like you did some decent research here with the gasoline.
I mean, that's the extent of that. But one thing I also looked into is, Bryce Dallas Howard's character wears high heels the entire movie. The entire movie.
That made me so mad.
And she's like running away from a T-Rex and the Indominus Rex at different points in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up, you can tell me if this is wrong or not, but online it said that T-Rexes could run up to 45 miles an hour. I don't know if that's
pretty, that might be a little too high, but they could definitely run faster than you could run in high-heeled shoes.
Yeah, and then I looked up, Usain Bolt ran 28 miles an hour.
Whoa, that's pretty quick.
When he did the 100-meter dash, he got up to 28, which is like probably the fastest human.
That seems crazy
Which is
fast.
Still much slower than, in theory, these dinosaurs would have been.
Sure.
So I just don't get how this movie wasn't 10 seconds long with her just like getting eaten immediately because just based on like speed comparisons. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I was going to bring it up in a similar way, just as like, did you guys think that there was a point to the high heels that I didn't get? Because I don't know if they were trying to say something by keeping her in high heels, because it seemed like they were highlighting it. Like
it was such a trope. They made a big deal about it.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So why do that? Is that they thought
it was
funny? Well,
it's an action movie. You have to have the lead girl be an idiot in high heels.
Where she's like, I'm a businesswoman and I'm going to keep these heels on no matter what. You know, it's that kind of thing. But, I mean, I thought her character was so just like traditional almost. I feel like it went back like
so
50
boring.
Years. Yeah. Where she's like a career woman, and because she's a career woman, she can't want kids, and like she's gonna wear these outfits, and she has to let Chris Pratt take the lead. I mean, she like redeems herself a little at the end, but I just feel like throughout the film, her character was like very shallow and just like, old school almost.
I kind of feel the same way about Chris Pratt's character.
Yeah.
I feel like both lead characters were kind of fine. They didn't have a lot going on character-wise.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We didn't know anything about them really either. Like,
no.
The only thing I knew about Chris Pratt's character is that he was in the Navy and now, like, is a
Trains
Velociraptor
raptors.
Trainer. Yeah.
But
those
unique
two
job.
Bullet points. Yeah. And that was
so,
it.
Oh, wait. So about that, he uses this, like, clicky pen to train these raptors.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of questions here. Number one, do you think Velociraptors could be trained? Can we get to the point where we're telling them what to do and when? And two, what's with the pen?
So the clicky pen, I'll go with that one because a friend of mine actually does dog training, and I guess that's a technique in dog training. So I asked her about it when the movie came out.
I've
I was like,
that.
What the hell is that clicky thing? And she was like, oh, we do that with dogs sometimes. So I guess it works as an animal training technique with some animals.
It seemed legit. Like,
yeah,
it's, you
apparently
know.
It's a real thing.
Okay.
In terms of could we train a velociraptor, I would lean towards probably not. Not a good idea. If you think about the relatives of dinosaurs that are with us today, so the birds, which are modern dinosaurs, and then crocodiles, which are a relative of them, can you imagine trying to train, like, an ostrich or a cassowary to like do what you want it to do. Like there are ostrich farms, but I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to go play with the ostriches.
Yeah, I mean, like, I certainly would terrifying. Not.
Yeah, they're yeah. scary.
I wouldn't.
I don't think they train so well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would tend to go with no.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, and we don't know that for sure.
Of course.
Sure.
Doesn't preserve in the fossil record, but I would go with no.
Okay, interesting. And they, in the movie, and as with the old movies as well, they like pack hunt, right? They like have like a, I don't know if it's like an alpha that they follow mm-hmm. or they're all democratically deciding who to hunt.
Voting.
They do a, yeah, ballot
Better
box.
System than we have.
Yeah, exactly. But does that make sense? Do we yeah. agree with that? Okay.
Yeah, so especially with some of the smaller theropod dinosaurs, things like Deinonychus, or which is a relative of Velociraptor, we have pretty good fossil evidence that they did have a social structure. They did hunt in groups and engage in sort of pack behavior. So there's nothing out of line with that idea.
And this might be a strange one, but is there a reason they focus so much on the Velociraptor, or is it just because in the original Jurassic Park they were a staple of the movie and they looked really badass and cool, and so it's like, oh, let's bring them back? Or were they a very special dinosaur?
No, I think it's just because of the success of the Velociraptors from the first movie. Okay. Like everybody loved them. That's yeah. everybody's Fair. Favorite dinosaur like now them. Is a Velociraptor. So why go away from a yeah. popular choice?
Right. Sophia, you guys.
Oh, I'm just wondering, is there a special dinosaur? That, if the Velociraptor is not a special dinosaur, are there any that like really stand out amongst the rest?
Should have been a star
yeah,
in Jurassic
exactly.
World.
So I feel like that's a really everybody's going to give you a different answer on that because everybody has a different favorite dinosaur. You know, you'd ask every paleontologist.
But we only care
dinosaur.
About you. Alyssa.
Exactly.
Well,
what's
okay,
yours?
So my favorite dinosaur would be Stegosaurus, which has
great.
Been unfortunately underrepresented in Jurassic Park movies.
No.
Absolutely.
Also, they were probably kind of dumb and basically like cows of the dinosaur world. So maybe not an exciting movie star. I get that. But there were also some really cool dinosaurs that didn't make it at all. So things like Therizinosaurs, which were probably the weirdest dinosaur ever.
Okay.
They're enormous. Most of them were huge, covered in feathers, and their claws were like up to like a meter long.
Whoa.
Oh, my
so
God.
So these are like crazy nightmare creatures.
Sounds
might have
like
been herbivorous,
it.
Actually. Like, they have some interesting adaptations. Like they might have had cheeks. And so that's that's something that you need if you're going to chew a lot of plant food, obviously, to keep the plant food in your mouth. So really weird dinosaurs would have made an awesome addition visually to the sort of menagerie of Jurassic Park. So they definitely could have gone with some more or some less traditional dinosaurs if they'd wanted to.
Gotcha.
But I think it was more just for familiarity.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that makes sense. So wait, what do you love about the Stegosaurus so much?
Oh, I just think they're adorable.
Okay.
They're huge and probably kind of dumb because they have the tiny heads and the huge bodies and the big plates and the spikes, and they just represent pretty much everything that's dinosaur. They're just really cool.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Okay, cool. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docu-special on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
The break is over. Here we go, back to the show about science.
So I'm glad that we, Sophia, you were bringing up how the other T-Rex came into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
This confused the shit out of me. I don't know if I missed something, and if I did, please feel free to correct me. I'm very willing to admit my schmuckism. But if you haven't seen the movie, I'm going to spoil it here for you. So towards the end of Jurassic World, they are basically just being attacked. Like everyone else has been evacuated somewhat, and they're just in this like kind of gift shop part of the park. And this Indominus Rex is like trying to murder them. They have like a couple of Velociraptors that are now on their side that are helping them fight. And so Gray says we need more teeth. So she goes to get this T-Rex. Couple questions. Number one, how is this T-Rex so close to all the gift shoppy parts? right?
Oh yeah, fair point.
It took really good point.
It took the other one. It had to run miles. It had to run. He said like 5 miles get to this portion because they were like, "Well, we have time. We can track it down. Whatever." Mm-hmm. This one's right there. I mean, she runs there in 30 seconds and opens the gate, and there's this gargantuan T-Rex.
And it's like just in like a warehouse almost. It's just like the garage door
Paddock
rolls
9.
Up. Yeah,
it's just hanging
it's
out.
Just like in the dark in a warehouse.
It's just been waiting for somebody.
Like, oh, this is my moment.
Been doing Sudoku for years. And now, oh, okay, you need me. And so, okay, this, again, it's just opening a door of questions. So number one, it's like, was this mentioned before? Did you guys know that this was there? That is this a clone? Is this another?
No, that's the original Tyrannosaur.
Oh, okay.
That is the Tyrannosaur from Jurassic Park. It's the same individual.
Got it.
Because it's got the same scars on it
from
where it fought with the raptors.
I did
at the
not
end of
catch
Jurassic.
That.
It's the
did
same,
not
it's
catch
the same
that
Tyrannosaurus.
Either.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So she was she saved their lives at the end of the first movie, and then she did it at the end of this one, too.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, she's a hero.
T-Rex. Wow.
I guess, okay, so that kind of answers my second question, which was, why did it help? Why did it know to kill this other dinosaur?
Yeah.
Made a good movie.
I mean, sure, it was exciting, but I just had no idea why it was happening. And it was the climax of the film.
Yeah.
It was just like, hey, now go battle what seems to be your sibling.
And
like another version of you.
Bigger than you.
Yeah.
And have fun with that. Yeah, no, that's not very realistic.
Would have just ran the other way, probably.
It would have, yes.
So would two T-Rexes normally fight? If
sure, they would fight for territory, or they would fight
like,
for
would
mating, or possibly, yeah. Mm. I mean, we do have evidence of Tyrannosaur on Tyrannosaur violence in terms of like bite marks and things like that, especially like on the face.
Mm.
So if you think about any sort of modern mammal systems where the males fight for lots of different reasons. And yeah, they can kill each other. Like male African lions will do that.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to think they wouldn't have. But at the same time, like survival is a pretty strong instinct. So just to fight for fun, that doesn't seem like a reasonable idea.
Right. Yeah. So. Okay. So plausible that they would fight, but
if they had something, if they were fighting over food, if they were fighting over a female, like there are reasons they would fight for sure. But you would have to have a reason.
Yeah.
They wouldn't just do it for fun.
I feel like it struck first, but let's say maybe it was self-defense because this Indominus Rex was so crazy and it attacked him or her. I don't
know. Sounds like a court case now. Where,
yeah.
Well, it struck first, but it was self-defense, so.
I am here defending Indominus Rex today. Yeah. It wasn't his fault. It says also that he or she, I don't know if it's a he or she, the Indominus one. Do you know? Do you remember?
I thought they were still going with they're all female
thing.
Yeah,
I thought they were all female.
Great.
Yeah.
So that's easy. It said that she ate her sibling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that about?
You saw the two at the beginning hatching?
Yes.
Yeah, one of those was the sibling.
Oh, okay. So
but it didn't exist anymore because she ate it at some point.
So, oh, okay. Very early on, seemingly.
Apparently. We didn't see that part. We just learned about it.
Right. Okay. And then they also had a very brief discussion about being raised in captivity and how that changes their, I don't know, behavior or something. So like number one, and again, I'm not trying to just sit here and poke holes in the film, but number one, wouldn't they know that? Wouldn't they know not to raise them in a way that's going to make them confused and violent, et cetera?
You would hope so.
Because
I mean, we've been raising things in zoos for a long time now, and we've got a pretty good,
pretty good studies
on what that does to animals.
What does it do to animals?
Well, things like, well, I mean, dinosaur animals too, but things like mammals, like there's lots of, they've been able to document lots of problems in big cats in particular with keeping them in captivity in too small of spaces.
Ooh.
Like pacing back and forth, like that's a behavior they don't ever do in the wild. They just do it because they're like chronically bored.
Sad.
Shit.
Yeah.
I feel bad for my cat now.
But whether or not that applies to things like crocodiles, for example, I'm not aware of any research that's looked into whether or not crocodiles have that same sort of problem in captivity. It might correlate with intelligence. Like more intelligent animals have to be engaged in more ways.
Right.
You know, I'm not an animal scientist in that regard, but that would make sense. So if you've got a smart dinosaur, you'd probably have to keep them more engaged or something, like train them like the raptors. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think it's just pretty basic 101. It feels like if an animal for millions of years had free roam and then you're just going to trap it in this small environment, like it's probably going to be pissed and not learn things correctly, right?
Right.
And it's something about the food chain. It said like she doesn't know where she is on the food chain.
Oh,
she's just learning this for the first time. Does that make sense? Like now that it's free, it's going to...
Not really. I mean...
Great.
I'm not really sure what they were trying to go for with that. Most organisms are just born like knowing what they are. You know, like there's sort of the innate, like, you know, tigers don't have any problem figuring out, like, oh, hey, guess where I am on the food chain.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't really see that that would have been an issue.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe it was that element of the cuttlefish, you know, being part cuttlefish, being part frog. Well,
there is that. It is everywhere on the food chain all at the same time. Yeah. So
it wasn't the captivity part. It was the genetic splicing.
It's hybrid, Frankensore thing.
Right. Yeah, that might have confused it a little bit more. Okay, so the dinosaur, I think it was the Velociraptor, blinks. It has that like sideways blink, which is kind of now, for me at least, been classically associated with like evil monsters in movies and stuff, like the bad guy in the movie or like some mutated thing is going to blink sideways, and that's how you're like, oh my god, not human, what the fuck, you know. So I just had to pose that question to you, like, did any dinosaurs blink sideways? Do any animals blink sideways? What's the deal with this?
So I don't know for sure where it shows up among reptiles. Mm-hmm. But there are reptiles that have eyelids that do other than just open close like humans do.
Okay.
Are they, but whether or not dinosaurs had that, we don't have any record of that.
Okay, jury's out. So wait, so how do they, what's the difference? Do they actually go left to right, or there's some
sort of... That's what I can't remember, because I think the ones I'm thinking of go bottom to top, maybe?
Oh,
but there may be some reptiles that have a second eyelid system that closes sideways. I'm not aware of any offhand, but...
Okay.
Wow, we're so basic with our one eyelid.
I know, so boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Lame. We're lame. I wrote down that Claire and Owen stopped when they were looking for the kids to check on those wounded dinosaurs we were talking about before. What were they called? Not the brontosaurus.
The apatosaurus.
And I just found that hilarious that they're like in an emergency panic mode trying to find these kids. And it's like, no, wait. Let's pet this dying dinosaur and just talk. Okay.
Oh. That seemed really accurate to me, actually.
Elizabeth, priority one, dinosaurs. Priority two, human life.
Yeah.
Human children.
She didn't even like the kids that much. Like, true. She didn't really even want them around. So I found that actually more believable.
Yeah, that's true.
Fair.
I wanted to talk for a second about that character, Masrani, the guy who runs the park. Well, I don't want to say runs, but owns the park, because he was built up to be like a hero of this movie, right? Yeah. Like, he seemed like a really cool, moral dude, right? He has like a strong moral compass, and he's like very confident, and he seems like the ideal rich guy, right? Isn't he playing that role where it's like, normally in movies, the guy who's like superbly rich is a gigantic dick and has no empathy and whatever. And this guy is like telling Claire, like, you know, chill out. You got to enjoy life. You got to be present, you know? Don't worry about things so much. Everything's out of your control, like blah, 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 whatever. And he's overly confident about flying this helicopter. They make it a point. They really drill this home.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty obvious what was going to happen.
Right.
No, that's why I'm bringing it up, because I was so pleased. I was laughing so hard when that copter went down. There's like three different times where he's just like really, I don't know, like celebrated for flying this copter. Like, he's a true hero. He's talking to guys who are like in war, and he's telling them, like, your general ever go out with you? And they're like, no, man, like, you're really cool. You're the fucking coolest guy. And Lauren Lapkus's character comes out and asks him, like, isn't there somebody else? Like, somebody else could fly. You don't even have to do this. And he's like, no, we don't need anybody else. I can do this. I can fly the hell. And then immediately pterodactyls. I think they were pterodactyls.
There was some sort of pterosaur. I don't remember what the genus they were supposed to be, but
okay, offshoot pterodactyl. Yeah. Oh, you don't know?
I don't remember either.
Okay, very interesting. Just a bunch of them fly up into this helicopter, and they immediately go down.
The thing is with him, though, I feel like he was like meant to be this moral compass character, but he also was like ignorant, because he literally was like, "What's going on with my park that I'm in charge of?"
Yeah, it's like
you
just
say
got there.
What? Yeah, so like he literally doesn't know anything that's going on, even though he's like the leader of all of it.
So true.
And so then it kind of like translates to this helicopter situation where he's like, "I'm gonna lead this, but like I don't know what the hell I'm doing."
Yeah,
and he's fine with it.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising he's had so much success.
with this attitude. Guys, he's a lucky guy. Well, not lucky in the end, but, you know, up until then.
I mean, no, yeah, he's, yeah, very lucky up until then of just jumping into different enterprises with no experience.
So successful.
Yeah, seemingly. And he even quotes Dr. Grant, or no, the guy who owned the old park, where he's saying like, Hammond, where he's saying, he always told me spare no expense, fuck it all. I don't care about profits. Like, anyways, I thought his character was just so fun, and I loved how it ended. I know it's unfortunate. I didn't necessarily want him to die, but the fact that he died in a helicopter crash specifically was fantastic.
That's true.
Okay, so there's a huge action sequence with these, I can't say pterodactyls now.
Pterosaurs.
Pterosaurs.
Yeah.
And so did you find that to be? Okay, go ahead.
So
just look at me like, no.
So the pterosaurs, all pterosaurs, so there's lots of different types of them, right? They're not dinosaurs as well. They're flying reptiles. Mm-hmm. And they are not birds in any regard. And so their feet are nothing like bird feet.
Okay.
They could not grab someone with
their feet.
That
was one of my questions. Oh. Yeah.
Their feet are actually more structured like a human foot.
What?
Yeah. So they probably walked more aligned with how we would walk.
Oh my God. This is my nightmare.
Yeah. That's like maybe freakier.
Way freakier.
No,
human
they did
feet.
Not have grasping
like
capability.
Talons.
No.
Yeah.
Nope. So that they would not be picking up that chick and dropping her in a mosasaur.
Man.
Scene was long. First, I would just want to say like that.
Totally.
I feel like they stayed on her for a while.
I would point to that as probably the worst paleo mistake. In my opinion, that the movie made.
The depiction of the
pterosaurs, being able to like swoop in and pick people up. Also questionable that they could even carry that kind of a load.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. They seem like pretty thin up top.
Yeah. They're really lightly built.
Yeah.
They're big, but they got to fly, so they don't weigh a lot. So that was.
What
just...
about like the beak portion? Because it seemed like they had pretty violent.
Oh, yeah. No, they definitely had huge, really extended nose parts on their beak. So like the bill and like all of that, like they could have definitely caused some damage with that.
Dangerous snout.
But they're probably more like fish eaters and things like that. So if you think about things like pelicans or storks, you know, birds that have big, long, extended beaks like that.
Yeah.
That would be more like their target.
Yeah. It did seem a little bit strange. They were so obsessed with attacking all these people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if anything, they would have maybe just dive bombed them to like run them off.
Right.
They wouldn't have actually like... carried them anywhere.
Yeah,
it seemed pretty strange. And again, potentially freakier. Like, it's scary to pick people up with talons and throw them around.
Exactly.
That's for sure scary.
Scary.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Arguable, though, is it scarier that they have human feet and are just walking around?
You're going to show them, like, flopping around like human
like,
feet.
They need Dr. Scholes just like us. Get some inserts.
That's freaky.
Yeah. So weird.
That's really scary. Again, I have another note with the heels. I was going to ask you guys what's the farthest you've run in heels or if you've had, like, those, you know, drunken nights walking around a city in heels and regretted
it. What drunk do with their heels? They take them off.
Immediately.
Right, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, you'll see that
I'm
everywhere.
Like she's holding in a the forest heels. Trying to like save her own life and she's continuing to wear those shoes. Like that's the most unreal. That to me is the most unrealistic depiction.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
That was like
Thank
an
you.
Egregious flaw with the movie. Yeah. Like the first thing I would do is say, who's got a pair of shoes I can borrow?
Seriously.
Right. Or just go barefoot, right?
Anything.
Why not go barefoot?
I don't know.
At that point.
Do heels work if you just crack off the heel part? Could you have just
No, they don't.
That doesn't make sense, right? I've never worn heels.
According to scientific research, no.
Okay. I'm glad we checked out the science on that. I have the thing about the grenades. The mosquito. So I read that the mosquito, I don't know, that the type of mosquito or species of mosquito that's in the amber that they use in the old Jurassic Park and the new one, because they show a shot of it as well, doesn't actually suck blood. Do you know about this?
I don't know. I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah.
So
I read that.
The type of mosquito that they used in the movie is not actually a...
blood-sucking mosquito, which I thought was really funny and weird thing that no one checked out, I guess.
I'll have to check with the entomologist at the museum and be like, so what do you know about these mosquitoes? That's interesting.
Yeah, get back to me on that.
I'll look into that.
And then I also read that in the same vein, the DNA, even if they did have the dino DNA, whatever, that it would have gone bad. That DNA doesn't just
DNA
last.
DNA does not last. No, the oldest DNA we've been able to successfully sequence is a couple hundred thousand years old. And dinosaurs are over 65, or the extinct dinosaurs are over 65 million years old. So no, DNA does not preserve at all.
Yeah, that's like way too old That's not like a couple days after the expiration date.
No, that's not like some
bad
smelling milk. That's like gone. Disgusting.
So many flaws in this film.
Yeah. Oh, well, the DNA was a big one because they harped on it. They did the whole, like we were talking about, where the kids pointing out the parts of DNA and like, it's so important that we have dino DNA.
Yeah, but we don't.
But I mean, that's a shame. Although I will say, very cool that we can get DNA that's hundreds of thousands of years old.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's so old. We've made amazing strides in the last like 5-10 years in harvesting ancient DNA. Like we now know the DNA sequence of Neanderthals and other groups of ancient hominins, so not Homo sapiens. So we've made some amazing, there's amazing things we can do with ancient DNA, just not that ancient.
Mm-hmm. There's just a point where like a half-life or something like it just goes bad.
Yeah, essentially, same idea.
Wow, crazy. Okay, and then I wanted to talk about Jack Horner and his Chickenosaurus. You know about this?
Yes, I know about that.
Okay, sorry to bring it up. Seems like a sensitive subject.
No, I don't know about it.
Okay, perfect.
I would love to hear about it.
He came up with this platform to try to genetically engineer a chicken to return to an ancestral dinosaur morphology in lots of ways.
Mm-hmm. Teeth.
And just so you're aware, Sophia, this guy's not like a quack. He's like a legit, hold on a second. He might be a quack. I read that he was like of a paleontologist that was, they based.
He was the scientific advisor for the first four Jurassic Park. Okay. I don't know about the later ones, but I know he was the official scientific advisor for the first ones.
Right.
Yeah, so, he was a paleontologist at the Museum of the Rockies in Montana for a long time.
I just saw your face when she started talking about this Chickenosaurus. You were like, what are we talking about here? Who is this guy?
So that's the important thing to remember, is that he is a vertebrate paleontologist by training. He's not a geneticist. But he did get the ball rolling and sort of publicized a lot of work that people had already been doing in regard to trying to understand the genetic modifications that modern chickens or modern birds of any variety have undergone that turned them into birds. Mm-hmm. Like, so how genetically can we find sort of the dinosaur signature that's still in their genome, if it's there? And so there's been some really, really fascinating work actually in turning off certain gene complexes. And that results in chicks, embryonic chicks, reverting to these dinosaurian sorts of forms. So the palate, the structure of the palate, the bones in their skull, will revert to a dinosaur form where there's two separate sets of bones instead of one fused bone across the palate.
Wow.
They'll grow teeth in their jaw just like dinosaurs did. So things like that. The structure of the tail, so the pygostyle, the fused tail at the ends, will become less developed. Lots of really interesting things that you can do just by turning off these newer, like post-dinosaur gene families. So it's really amazing research that's been done by a number of people across the world. So it's not just like one lab is doing this. And it's telling us a lot about developmental biology and how that works in a really unique group of organisms, the modern dinosaurs.
Is this the same kind of thing as like CRISPR, where it's like gene editing?
No, it's not gene editing. So CRISPR gives you the ability to introduce new genetic components to an individual.
Okay.
This is working with the existing genome and just tweaking how the genes are expressed.
Okay.
So you have tons of genes in your body that may never be expressed. They may never be active because they get turned off very early in development or they're only turned on at a certain stage of development. And that's what they're supposed to do. And so this is working with that sort of master plan. So epigenetics would be the sort of field that this is related to. Gotcha. So it's not just an individual gene doing something. It's these master genes that control like the blueprint of an organism. Mm-hmm. And so there's really fascinating things that researchers are able to do now looking into that, but separate from CRISPR.
Cool. Okay. Any other questions from you, Sophia Hosini?
Take a look.
Okay, take a look. We'll just wait
messy
with
notes.
Some elevator
music. If you could
music.
Just sit boom, silently boom, while... keep going. Oh, these aren't necessarily questions.
Okay, great.
Just comments.
Please,
or
comment.
I guess I'll phrase them in a question.
Yeah, sure.
Did you guys notice the Jimmy Buffett cameo?
Yes,
no.
It was amazing.
I didn't either, and I'm mad about it because then I read about it after the fact and I didn't see it.
There was a Margaritaville in that guest shop area, and he was one of the tourists, like hanging out there, and like the hat and everything.
Wow.
That said, I don't know that I really know what Jimmy Buffett looks like anyway, so maybe that was my first issue, but yeah, so he was in that. And then, did you see that the helicopter instructor was the producer of the film, actually?
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Did not know that. Interesting.
That's a cameo there.
That's fun for him.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Jeff Goldblum had a cameo in the... At one point, they were riding in the train to get somewhere.
Okay.
The woman in front of where the kids were sitting was reading his book, and so his picture was on the jacket cover.
Oh, that's funny.
Not his book, Ian, not his character's
book. Right, right, right.
Yeah, but his picture was on the jacket cover.
Did not notice that.
I also just thought it was so crazy how, like, normalized it became to just see people get eaten constantly. Like, nobody freaked out that hard.
Right,
you know, like, a couple people did, but then after a while, it was just like, oh, man, more people have been eaten, and, like, that's that. Especially, like, the military guys with the video on the in the control
absolutely.
Room.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I feel like they were just like, oh, well, we lost our team, and that's it.
And for me, and at the end of any of these movies, any sort of disaster movie, monster movie, anything, where people are, like, so relieved, and they're so like, ah, you know what? Everything's back to normal now. Like, I can never get that. I never comprehend
it's
it.
Like,
because
not at all.
Even when I just have, like, a normal day, just, like, a stressful day where I have to, like, sit in traffic or whatever, by the end of the day, I'm like, God damn, like, this sucks. I'm in a bad mood. I don't want to do anything. If you've seen... a dozen people get murdered, you know, brutally by animals. Like, why would you be relieved? There's going to be some sort
of... You're going to have PTSD for a while.
Yeah.
So there's that.
It's like never, like nobody. Yeah. Nobody's expressing that at all.
Well, totally. I feel like they've been dealing with 20 years of this park being developed. Surely they're used to people dying by now.
I guess so.
I mean, imagine what they've been covering up all this time.
Maybe. Yeah. I thought maybe the most, like, shocked face I saw was that guy who was like the new kid at the training place, you know, where he where he fell in, and then Chris Pratt's like, never turn your back to the cage, even though he like literally just did and it like almost got him, but he's
also like that was the problem, right? Like, that wasn't the problem. The problem is that he tried to like hook a pig from this from this weird bridge.
Like, the logistics were bad to begin
terrible move,
right?
So turn your back to the cage, that's fine.
That
you gotta
like
walk away.
Most
the
terrified
cage.
Person, yeah. So I don't know.
Okay.
Also, I have a question. Actually, I'm wondering how long did T-Rexes live, like in general?
That's a good question. So if you look at the histology of bones, if you make thin sections of dinosaur bones, you can tell how old they are in rough terms.
Uh-huh.
And so it appears that, you know, 30 to maybe even 50 years would not be unusual.
Oh, okay.
So it's not unusual that the original Tyrannosaurus
would
have still been
wondering.
Alive.
But then it was definitely on the tail end, or maybe like middle age.
She was late middle age.
Okay.
Yeah, she was getting up there.
But she still got it.
But also, you got to remember, she wasn't in the wild, right? She was in captivity. Animals in captivity tend to live longer in the wild because they're fed and they don't have to worry about things.
Yeah.
Especially in the VIP Paddock 9.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Right near all the action.
Right.
Yeah. They took good care
next
of her.
To Margaritaville.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
She's getting a lot of burgers. Yeah. She's in her LeBron stage, you know. She can still wreck, but it's kind of
only when she wants to.
She's been saving it, though. For that moment.
It's
fine.
Yeah. Just in case.
True.
Is that it? That's the...
One more.
Oh, please.
I'm sorry. I could do this. I'm so excited to be in front of a paleontologist. I'm like, this is my childhood dream coming true.
Oh, great.
I was wondering about the like transition of the alpha males with the raptors of, you know, going from Chris Pratt to the Indominus Rex.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work with just like the alpha male thing in general, I guess? I don't know.
So it depends. Like, lots of different... carnivores have social structures, and they're all very different from each other. We don't have a whole lot of examples, except for birds, of dinosaur-type carnivores. And in birds, we don't observe a whole lot of social structure the same way that we think we see in the fossil record, which may or may not be a good thing. I mean, imagine like a flock of ostriches that had that kind of social hierarchy. Like, that's probably scary.
With human feet.
Yeah. So they could have absolutely... chosen to follow a different alpha. In nature, usually you see transitions between alphas occurring when a bigger, stronger, more successful, whatever, younger, oftentimes alpha male comes in and physically defeats the current one. But I don't think the Indominus had to actually defeat Chris Pratt for the raptors to know who was going to win in that fight. So
right. just thought it was interesting because then it switches back to him, like, in a moment.
That was the part that didn't make a lot of sense, because I think their argument was they recognized the raptor genes in the Indominus.
Yeah, they were talking
and
the same
they were
language.
Like, oh, you speak our language. Right. Like, we can work with this. That kind of, I mean, to me, that kind of made sense. Yeah. I didn't see anything wrong with that. But for them to be like, never mind, we don't like you, we're going to go back to this dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That didn't make much sense to me. Okay. Other than if they're just going for, like, the puppy thing where, you know, you raise a dog and it always knows you.
I think that is what they were going for, right? Because he, like, pets him or her. And
her.
Her, excuse me. And she's like, oh, Chris,
I remember you.
Yeah.
It was a little cheesy.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think those are all my questions.
Oh, great question,
thank
Sophia.
Thank you.
Superb. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And thank you both for joining me today on this Jurassic World discussion. Have you guys seen the sequel, by the way, The Fallen Kingdom?
No, I heard it's worse.
Okay.
Sorry.
That was the...
2018,
oh, yes.
I believe it came out.
Yes, okay. I did, actually. So we did a thing with one of the theaters downtown where we showed the movie, and then me and another paleontologist hung around afterwards to do, like, a special Q&A with the audience. So it was like a pre-release thing that we did, like a promo. And I'm sitting there watching this movie with my friend, who's also a paleontologist, and we're just, like, looking at each other. It's like, what is going on?
Oh, no.
How? What? So then it was, I felt terrible. There's all these kids in the audience, and we're sitting there, and every single one of them is like, well, what about that? Could that happen? Could that happen? Could that happen? And we're just like, no. No. Yeah. No.
No.
No. That's not a thing.
None of this is real.
And then every now and then we'd be like, no, that's actually a real dinosaur.
Everybody
that
cheers.
That was all we had. We finally had a yes to give them. But it was... It was a little disappointing.
Okay.
All right. Well,
have you seen it?
No, I have not seen it.
Well, you should watch it.
Yeah. Well,
it is
even more
of a monster movie.
Hmm. Oh, great.
Yes.
Okay. So
they're continuing this trend of, like, this downhill slide into just, like, the craziest action movies we can make.
Yeah. Well, I mean, financially, it definitely works.
It works
for both of these movies, I think. So, yeah, maybe next time we'll have you back and do friend who disappointed all those children can come in and disappoint all of our listeners.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, thank you so much. Oh, Sophia, where can people find you? Should they? Because I notice you don't really do Instagram. Is that true?
I don't really do Instagram.
Okay.
I'm not really online. I'm a little off the grid.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mysterious.
You know, unfortunately, I don't know that I have anything coming up. Maybe just our next improv show, which is second Thursday of the month.
That's right.
In North Hollywood.
Yes, at Acme Theater.
At Acme Theater. I'm glad you remembered the name.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're an improv group called Weak Coach.
Yeah.
Who does have an Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so follow that.
Follow that, and you'll get to see pictures of Sophia.
Oh, yeah.
If you can't make the show, of course, where, you know, because I can attest, like, live action Sophia is much better.
Wow, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Live action Ethan is great, too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. And yet the photograph version of us sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
totally.
Not as entertaining.
It doesn't capture our essence.
Yeah, you're right. The camera is mean to us. Alyssa, what about you? Where can people find you? Where can people find these bones?
Natural History Museum. So we're open 7 days a week. We're the last 2 hours of the day. We're free to LA County residents. All of the new stuff that we've been collecting is currently being prepared in our dino labs. You can watch people cleaning the bone out of the rock in real time.
Yeah.
We've got some things on display already from our Utah quarries. So that's the place to be. We update things all the time.
Great. Okay. And people can just go to Utah and look around. Or
they're welcome to look around, but it is illegal to collect fossil bones without a permit.
I'm so here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. So everyone enjoy doing that illegal activity.
Yeah. Don't do that.
And we'll join you for what appears to be the less good sequel.
I haven't seen it. Maybe it's better.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Alyssa, you've seen both.
They're equally terrible in lots of exciting and fun ways.
Okay, great. Join us for that equally terrible episode. Thank you guys so much again.
Awesome. Thank you, Ethan.
Bye. Bad Science is hosted and produced by me, Ethan Edinburgh. Our associate producer is Emily Feld. Our editor is Lucas Bollinger. And the executive producer is Brett Kushner. Follow us on Instagram at Bad Science Show. That's at Bad Science Show. Or feel free to send us an email, badscience@seeker.com. That's badscience@seeker.com. Let us know what you think about the show, any movies we should do in the future. I always appreciate getting your emails. And of course, leave us an iTunes review. That lets other people hear about the show. And I'll see you all next week. Bye.